The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Sports Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericasports.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Good evening and welcome to the Sports Maverick Show with the Oprah of Sports, Ida Mouye. Now, the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome to the Sports Maverick Show. It's Ida Mouye, your host, and welcome back to another wonderful show. If you were with us last week, we were talking about the lessons that the Bible can teach athletes and coaches and also fans. This week, we're going to continue that. We're going to focus more on the book of Touchdown from Heaven. And we're going to have our special guest, Felicia Young, back with us in a little minute here. But what I want to do is just give you a quick view of some of the news around the league. Well, I think the really nice story is to have watched the two rookies, Chris Ponder and also Cam Newton, really go at it, you know, with a close win of 21-24. Chris Ponder pulled out that win for Minnesota. Cam Newton was given a loss, but they did it with poise, and I think that's kind of a nice thing about where the league has gone, that you get two rivalries together to shake hands afterwards and be able to say, okay, you got me this time, but I'll get you the next time. Another big news is, and it's called the Game of the Week, the Pittsburgh Steelers met with the Patriots, and for the fifth time, they handed Brady a surprise. Brady basically got beat at his own game. In other words, they booted the Patriots out of number two place and placed the Steelers in the number two place for the week and next to number one Green Bay, setting up a possible repeat of a Super Bowl. In other words, I think the Steelers got revenge on their minds right now. One of the things that we have heard a lot about, and we hear all this news about what's going on in the NBA with the lockout. Well, we've got more news in the NBA. Apparently, the NBA was struck with two blows this week. Number one is the New Jersey Nets will not have Mr. Kim Kardashian to be there for publicity and marketing reasons, because after 10 weeks, Mrs. Kardashian said she does not want to play ball anymore and has filed for a divorce after 10 weeks. And she reported it on TMZ versus telling her husband directly. And there's a rumor that, in fact, she interviewed several guys before she actually went out with one to pick a particular husband. So this might have been a ruse all along, but no one really knows what's behind closed doors. And particularly if it's drama, you're going to have the Kardashians involved with it. But the other news is that there's infighting in the NBA union. And what happened was it even forced President Derek Fisher to write a letter directly to the players to deny that he had not accepted a secret deal from the owners, because a statement was made by Billy Hunter, one of the other union negotiators, that 52% or else. And that really made it difficult for the union to really hold faith with the players after that. So most people believe the deal that will get done will be a 50-50 deal. And so it's pretty much where it's going to end up. But right now, it looks like they're in a rift. They can't file for decertification because that's passed already. So they really have to go to some type of agreement. So let's just hope that, you know, cooler minds will prevail and go back to the table. In other news, we have the golf, where Sergio Garcia, again, is starting to raise his head as a champion. He had back-to-back championships in his native Spain. And Sergio is not a quitter, but he's getting better and better as he gets older. And I'm sure we'll see him soon back in the United States challenging again, probably in one of our new covenant, either at Doral or possibly even in Augusta. Now, you know, baseball is losing Terry La Rosa. He is actually retired and said goodbye to the game of baseball in St. Louis. He was one of the ones that was responsible for that great win over the Texas Rangers. But he is saying goodbye, goodbye, goodbye. And again, NCAA is supposed to have the matchup of the century. You have number one, LSU and Alabama, coming to blows on Saturday. We'll think it'll be a slugfest. We think they'll play conservative. You've got LSU with the legs. You've got, you know, the defense on Alabama. But what's interesting, which makes this a very storyboard type thing, is that, remember, Saban left LSU to go to Alabama, and it is his replacement that he's going to be playing against. So I'm sure there are some players who were drafted by Saban that would love to be able to take him out of this race. Now, what can happen, because they're both undefeated, they're probably not going to fall too far out of this game. They'll probably fall no more than fifth if someone loses this. So they're still probably in contention for the national championship, but I'm almost certain that the one that falls out is probably not going to be going to the SEC championship and therefore will probably not be a real contender. So we'll watch and see what happens with that. So again, that's our news out there in sports right now. And of course, you know, we always try to keep you informed of what's going out there. And just want to report to you that, of course, February the 2nd, I will be hosting a high school signing event between Tampa Bay area and the Central Florida area. It's the first of its kind. And we'll be hosting those students and basically giving them awards, the Sports Maverick Award. So I'm very excited about that because it returns me back to my roots working with high school students again and getting them off to that college start. So again, this is basically our news here. I'm going to shift gears here and now introduce our guest. I want to now at this time, again, welcome back to our show, Felicia Young. And before I welcome her back, I want to say that last week she gave us a roaring type of show. We have a lot of people to write in that are following some of the great rules that she laid out in the Bible about the different contracts that one can follow. And today we're going to talk and get personal with her. We're going to get in a huddle with her, and we're going to talk about her own life and how she basically went from having a life of destruction to being a life of biblical proportion and beginning to really see her life and having a lot of glorious blessings. I want to welcome Felicia back to the show. Welcome back, Felicia.
Thank you, Ida. Thank you. I'm honored. I'm grateful and thankful to God to be of service.
Well, you know, I wanted to invite you back, of course, because number one is that reading your book, gleaning from that book, seeing so many different people's stories in that book that I've encountered, you know, in my years of talking to mothers and, you know, people who have gone through adversity. And then just the mere ability for you to overcome that says that you definitely are anointed. And I want to hear from you because I think that a lot of people out there don't realize that, you know, they see NFL mothers or NBA mothers or baseball mothers, and they think, well, they've got it all going on because, you know what, their sons are making millions and millions of dollars, and therefore they had an easy street. But it wasn't always easy, was it? It was not always easy, was it?
No, nothing is easy. I'm going to tell you, for the things that you go through, which you don't know that when you're going through, but to find out that you're not calling the shots in your life and that enough is enough when the time comes for God, and he will call your name and then call you out and show you yourself. And at that point, if you are a child of God, you're going to have to choose one day. You'll have to choose either him or choose the devil. And when he tells you that, you're going to stop and think, I know I am not in love with the devil, so I know I love the Lord. So one of those things had to go. So whatever the lifestyle that I was living, it had to go in order for me to be available and follow the instructions and the assignment that God has called me for.
Well, what was your epiphany for you to really decide to write this book? And, of course, you chose the title, Touchdown for Heaven. So kind of tell us about the real purpose of the book. What was the epiphany of that?
Well, going over everything from where I started and where I was in the middle of my mess when the Lord had, sent a word to me to let me know that he had his hands on me. And after going through all of that and listening and obeying and following the instructions, knowing that I was in a terrible state and that I did need a change, a necessary change, because he had said to me that I was going to be greatly blessed through my son Vincent. And at that point from where I was, and which we would go through all the things that I was going through at the time of the word that was given to me, is that I needed the Lord to change my life. And so at the point of changing my life and me choosing what the assignment was, that I must tell my testimony. And I asked the Lord, I said, what would you have me do? And he said that he wanted me to go and tell everyone. Every time I would tell it, he would save a soul. And so that to me was a commission. If he saved me from out of where I was, and I know not only just myself was going through at the time, that it was so many of us like me, was an urgency of sitting down with God and letting him put those life struggles that I went through down on paper to put this book together. And that's why, sitting down with a lady that helped me put the book together, Miss Antoinette Latham, we went over just the different titles. Let's just think about what really happened to me that day. And so we call out some certain things that was happening, and the one thing that stuck out was the touchdown from heaven, because I actually got a touchdown from heaven, and that was the light of my life, you know, that shined the light on me to see that I was in a need, you know, to come away from where I was.
Okay, and I know that we talk about motherhood, okay, so you know, you had children, and there were some struggles with having children, being with children, and being a mother. What were some of those struggles?
But the struggles of being a single parent. I was separated from my husband, and that was one of the things. That was one of the things that I had to go through on my own. And then I, you know, had to, my kids were small and I needed some assistance and, you know, and it was a very hard thing to go through when you think that you're going to be with your husband and your family and you're going to grow old together and your children are going to go and everything is going to be what you thought as a dream, and then it's not so. So I had that struggle within me because the father was not in the home and I had to bring my children up and they were babies. And, but I have to tell you that while I was in the struggle, I had my mom in the background. I had a mother, I had a mother-in-law, and I had a cousin. And those women, those strong women, stood in my life to show me that I had to stand for my children. I had to be there for my children. And so, those are the things that you're trying to work and raise babies. And you're single. You had everything that was going against you because you were a single mom.
Well, you know, a lot of times when we encounter mothers with children coming into college, mm-hmm. and we get a lot of football players come in, and most of those mothers are, in fact, single mothers. Mm-hmm. And we see that struggle that I think kind of spills over sometimes into the children, mm-hmm. because the loss of the father in the home. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you were doing double duty because you had to be both a mother and you had to be a father and you had small children. And so, and also the loss of your love. I mean, you know, it's difficult for someone to have a man in your life, have children, and expect this, what you say, this wonderful life, and then to realize it's not going to happen. So therefore it must have then changed your personality.
Oh,
and
yeah.
At that point in time, you sought other means in that regard, I'm assuming.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go through all the self-denial. You go through all the self-pity. You go through the low self-esteem. You go through all of these things, and, you know, you're trying to find yourself after you're not with your love, with your, the one who you thought were your love, you know, and that was going to be there for you and your family. And then also you got to take care of your family. I had to work, you know, I had to go to work, and I had to see that my babies were taken care of, and I had to make sure that there was food in the house and they had the things that were needed. And, you know, it was just toughing it out. But most of the battle was on the inside of me. It wasn't that I had to let my children know we were battling, because, you know, you always take care of them and see to it that they have. But being without someone in your life, you know, to walk with you while you're going through was not a good thing, because you start reaching out to other men and stuff like that, you know, coming into your life, and you find out that they're not the one. You know how many men you got to go through at a young age when you're young and you got to stay single, and you find out that it's not it.
Well, a lot of times they say you have to kiss a lot of princes, I mean a frog, to meet a prince, but I don't know if I agree with that one. We're going to take a 3-minute break. We're going to come back, and we're going to go back still more deep into this with Felicia. We're talking about her book, which is called Touchdown from Heaven. And this book is not for the faint of heart, because Felicia is no holds barred today. She is revealing the choices she made and the company she kept that led her down a path of destruction. We'll be back in 3. We'll talk further with Felicia. Thank you.
Internet flagship station for sports.
Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyet, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
Listen to Sports Talk at the Positive Pub every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Sports Channel. Gil Tyree talks to sports newsmakers, playmakers, and story breakers. You, the hardcore, interactive, and novice fan, can join the show via your phone calls and emails. Sample what's good, right, and positive about the world of sports every week. Begin your week in a positive way with Sports Talk from the Positive Pub. Be here every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel. What's the national pastime in the U.S. in the 21st century?
Are you sure? Think again.
3 out of 4 Americans have made NFL football the true American pastime. It's now one of the fastest growing sports in the world. But how do we as fans understand everything that goes on behind the scenes? Tune in to Enter the League with Eugene T. Lee Esquire as your host. Eugene was the featured NFL agent in the ESPN acclaimed documentary The Dotted Line. And now he takes his expertise to the Voice America Sports Channel. Listen every Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyet. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. This is Ida Moyet, and my special guest tonight is Felicia Young from Felicia Young Ministries. We are talking about her book, Touchdown from Heaven. We're in a huddle again with her. talking about this. Now, most of you know her as Vince Young's mother and the quarterback at Philadelphia Eagles. But we know her as Felicia Young's ministry because in this book, Touchdown from Heaven, she is basically going play by play and giving us a actual, scenario of everything she went through early in her life for her to actually get that touchdown from heaven. And she's talking about drugs. She's talking about, bad relationships. She's talking about broken marriages. She's talking about addiction. I want to welcome Felicia back to the show. Welcome back to the show, Felicia.
Thank you. Thank you, Ida.
Now, Felicia, I know that when you wrote this book, you must have had an aha moment because you released all that stuff. Finally confronted it. And you released it, you know, and that might have been, it's almost like, you know, I sort of talk about once I went to a revival when I came home and I was like floating, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess you just released it and you really felt like, you know, you were actually probably at the Super Bowl by that time, right?
True that.
But just to go through it must have been painstaking just to recall all of the various different things you went through. Tell us the lowest point you thought you ever got into, and specifically, who took you there and who brought you back?
Well, who took me there is, I have to say nobody but God took me there because he showed me myself. And I think over the years of all the drinking and all the, because I started doing the drugs in my marriage when I was having problems in my marriage. And just like women need to have a sense of being with their husbands and stuff and, you know, going through and, talking and communicating, whatever it is, you want family to be together. And so he was always away or doing some things. And one of the things was when he was, getting high or, and when cocaine, we used to snort the cocaine, but cocaine came into play with, where it started to be freebase and we start smoking it, you know, and then it became to be crack. And crack, I think, was the one thing about it from all over the world. They thought it was going to be one set of race, but it ended up being everybody. It targeted everybody, but, that was brought to us in the marriage, something that kept us together. We did together, you understand? And so, but the subject, I mean, the idea of doing those things, thinking that you were going to be together, was attack on the enemy upon my marriage to tear that marriage up, and that's exactly what it did. It did not stay together. Once we started doing these things, and with the alcohol being involved in it, it was a lot of abuse, and you know, you're not taking care of your responsibilities. Your wife is working all the time and taking care of bills, taking care of the children. And so eventually the enemy got to us where it would not stand, so we had to separate from one another for the sake of having life and a peace of mind, and just, it's not working. We got to split up. And that right there alone was I thought in the midst of it as a separation was going on. My husband and I were separated for, almost 20 years before I got in a divorce. You know, because I never, all the things that I was going through, you never really focus on doing what you needed to do was to get a divorce. It never came up because I was too busy doing other things, too busy with other people in my life bringing their own baggage, you know. And I thought I was doing my own thing, getting away from where I was, you know, coming up and doing what I wanted to do and being free. But I was not free. I was bound on the inside for all those years because those are the things that over those years, like 10 or 15 years, I'm thinking that I'm released, I'm happy, I'm doing it up, I'm partying. But those are the things that had me bound because it caused me to have two lives. Because in the daytime I worked, I took care of my kids, I had a job, I worked at University Texas Health Science Center, biomedical science, doing tissue culture. I worked all the time and I had somebody in my background taking care of my kids. But once those things were over, when it's time for a downtime, then the downtime came to be that I had a nightlife. And so to live like that for so many years, truly you ought to know that it was going to come to an end. Either I was going to be dead because I was drinking alcohol like it was nothing. I was always drinking and then smoking cigarettes. I got to the point where the last part of my, the end of smoking cigarettes, I was up to a pack and a half a day, you know. And you know you can't drink alcohol to smoke cigarettes and without you getting drunk, intoxicated, you're going to have something to keep you up. And so cocaine will come into the play. The crack cocaine will come into play to keep you going, you know. But all of those things, as I said, and then you, that lifestyle bring on more people. I mean all kinds of people. It didn't matter what race you were. It didn't matter whether you were a man or woman. You had all kinds of people was stuck in a rut in that same area, you know, doing the same thing. And I remember times were coming because I would take my mom to work. I would do all the driving. I would do all the cooking. I would do the things that needed to get done. But it was just getting to be a little bit out of control and a little bit causing me to not being able to hold on any longer. And so just one day sitting at home and doing what I do, you know, after getting off of work on Fridays, you know, it's our downtime and you know, you tell your children to go get in the room, close the door, there's grown people in here, you get on out. And you would think that your children are not paying any attention, but all the things that you would do, your children would be doing because you don't have your eye on your children every chance you get. You know, you would think that your kids are safe and at home, but while you in your mess, things are going on. The enemy is working on them like he's working on you. And so, it took a friend of mine who used to be with us when we were getting high all the time, that the Lord pulled him to the side and he got converted. He became a Christian and a believer. And when he became a Christian and believer, the Lord told him to go back to the neighborhood. Go back to the neighborhood and tell what I did for you. And so every time he would come, I would be, everybody else would be there. And when he come, that's all, here come that preacher, here he come. And they would bust up and scatter like roaches. And guess who would be left there? It was me.
Standing right there.
It was me that stayed there. And what I did was, you know, you would talk to, when you drinking and smoking and doing whatever, you put that stuff aside when you know a man of God is coming around.
So you respected, you know, God in spite of your foe. You,
that's
still
right. You don't keep
God
on doing what you're doing. You put that up and you stop and you listen and give that man a respect. And that was me. So that's when he had a chance to. His name was Billy Brown, and he's Reverend Brown today. And he shared with me. He said, "The Lord sent me down here just to let you know that he had his hands on you." And I, at that time, I didn't know what that meant. What did you mean? God had his hands on me. I didn't know. You don't. Taken out of my imagination, I don't see no hands, I don't understand what that is. And so he just said it that one time, and it took him three times to come to me, caught me in the same act of doing what I was doing. And that last time he came, he told me, he said, "God told me to tell you that he has his, that he's going to greatly bless you through your son, Vincent." And when he said that, it's like something burst or struck me or like I didn't see him or I didn't hear him. I heard the voice of God. In my heart, I felt the Spirit. It was so strong. It was enough to fear me. And I said, "Oh my God, if he's about to greatly bless me," I didn't want to be greatly blessed and still in my mess. Because that sounded like an awful lot. I could not even imagine what that was. And so
you wouldn't have even
point,
been prepared to accept the blessing.
Uh-huh.
if you were still in your mess, if you weren't, wouldn't even be able to accept it in that regard.
Yeah, well, if I wouldn't even, you're right. I mean, if he had a, because at what we see today, people are blessed and they're miserable because they're still in their mess. But
yes.
Me, I didn't want that at that time when it was spoken to me. I didn't want to be greatly blessed. Because I've seen it so many. You see it on TV every day. That people, they are powerful, they're rich, and those people are doing everything under the sun, but they're not happy and they don't have God in their life. You know, and I didn't want it to be that I was still doing what I was doing because I knew I wasn't going to make it. You know, if I was still doing the things I was doing, still drinking and still smoking and still doing all these things and been greatly blessed with everything that I had, I don't think I would have been here. You know,
so
I would have died of cirrhosis of the liver.
Yeah.
I would have died of emphysema. I would have died of HIV. I would have died of something.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was going to say, that, you know, you were actually, you know, among the possibilities were endless in terms of what would have taken you from this earth. But I understand you lost yourself, but you also lost your brother. Tell me a little bit about that.
I did. In our parts of growing up, you know, that it was just so much turmoil in our family life at that time. My mom was working all the time. I had two brothers. The brother that I lost was next to me. I'm 54, and he would be 52 today if he's still been living. But he was with a friend of mine that I had dated for 5 years, and they were out in our community at a club. And the boyfriend of mine was intoxicated. And when they were at the club and getting ready to leave to go home, there was a lot of people were saying to my brother, his name was Keith, saying to my brother, you don't need to get in the car with him because he's too drunk. But my brother didn't want to leave him, so he got in the car with him to, you know, to watch out for him. But he ended up driving off a curb from down the street from the club called Dead Man Curve. He drove off the curb, and the car flipped over, and my brother was caught up under the dashboard, and it crushed his chest. And
So that had to be a wake-up call for you.
Yeah, it was a wake-up call for all of us. For a minute, if you understand when things come to you, yes, a wake-up call at that time. And but it didn't stop all of us from doing what we were doing. You know, we was hurt, and there was a lot of pain there. And that was my boyfriend I knew for like 5 years. And everyone wanted me to just hate him because he was still alive and my brother was gone, and my brother was very well known. And I couldn't do it. That was the time where the Lord had spoke to me and told me that I was going to have to forgive him. I was going to have to let that go. I was going to have to go to him and tell him that he's forgiven, that I forgive him, so that he'll be able, because he was left here, and to let him know that that was a wake-up call for him, that he can't drink like that anymore, not drink and drive. So I did that. But when I did go to him and told him that I forgave him, but that was the end of our relationship, and I haven't talked to him since that day. That's been so many, many years ago. And but I was able to walk away, and I was able to forgive him. And he has been truly forgiven, you know, to this day.
Well, you know, we're going to come back in about 3 and continue this. This is really getting to the moment, of course, that, you know, you lost your brother. There was a potential to lose. You lost your family unit that you had there. You're losing your money. You're losing your hope for the future. And then you receive that touchdown from heaven. We're going to come back and talk about that aha moment in your life. We'll be back in 3. This is Ida Moyer, and you're listening to the Sports Maverick Show.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new 5-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PRO-READYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
This Is It Sports is an engaging talk program that includes you, the experts, and sports, all moderated by Coach Carl Hargrave. We'll talk about what's going on in the general sports world, collegiate and professional. Take a look at youth-oriented sports, athletic development and sportsmanship, faith, and where it has its place in sports, along with a lively discussion with Coach Carl every week. Tune in to This Is It Sports with Coach Carl Hargrave every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Sports Channel.
Your internet flagship station for sports.
America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We just got an email. It's coming from Doris Hicks. And she has a question for our guest, Felicia. Felicia, I have a mother who is 21 years old, and her husband just left her last week. And she wanted to know, number one is, what is the number one thing she needs to avoid without falling into that bottomless pit? What do you suggest she do right from the start? Because it just happened to her last week.
Well, I tell her to hold on to God's unchanging hand. I tell her to start praying, stay prayerful, talk to God. Just tell God exactly how you feel in your heart, because I didn't do those things. I reached out for other things. I started drinking. I started partying, and that was my thing on a daily basis. And, you know, and when you don't, you know, you don't have anybody, because you don't want to, half the time you don't want your mom to know. You don't want your folks to know. And so you kind of keep stuff to yourself, and it's just you going through, and you can, you know, and the enemy knows what he's doing. He's tearing up that family for a purpose, because God had a purpose for your family. And so in the only way that you want to get some real help to help you to maintain and understand where you are, that you're not alone, is that you go to God in prayer. And going to him in prayer, and he will lead you. He will protect you. He will provide for you. He will do everything for you. See, I had those things in the background for a foundation and people standing in the gap for me, but you still fall into the sense of getting, you know, trying to do what you want to do, you know, trying to cover up all the things that hurt and that pain. Well, that hurt and pain, turn it on over to God, because he'll tell you, you give that to me. You give that hurt and pain over me, and I'm going to come and rest in your bosom. I'm going to bring love in your bosom. I'm going to bring so much love in your bosom that you won't even see what anybody done to you. And you'll find out you're not by yourself, you know, and that you got him to lean on. And when you start getting confident in that, confident in him and trusting in the Lord that he's going to take care of you, that's when you're going to start seeing the light. You know, you got to have prayer. You got to have word. You got to go where people who walking in that sense. And a lot of time young people ain't ready for that. You know, they still in their way and they trying to find their way, and I'm grown now, you know, and I can make my own choices, and that's where we fall into a sense where we start making our own choices. But you need to know, you know, when you make a choice, you're doing the right thing. But when you take a chance, that's when you fall into a trap. So I tell you, make the choice to give it over to
all right
God. You know.
All right, Doris, that's some good information for you. Just get into a local church and get in a Bible-based church and just get going with that, just like Felicia told you. Well, Felicia, going back to your life, you had an awe in your life. Halfway through, you reassessed your life, and then you're getting this word from this minister telling that you're going to be blessed by your child. And so now you're looking at your child and saying, what is it that's coming? Tell me about how you got your rebirth and how you found courage and discernment to make these lasting changes in your life.
Well, being born again came after I was told what was going to happen with my life. That's when I fell on my knees. And I went to God then. It was like July 27, 1997, I think it was. It was back then. I think that's about 13 years almost. And
okay.
What I did was I asked the Lord to take that taste out of my mouth, that urge out of my stomach. And I asked him to deliver me from cigarettes and from adultery and from the life, you know, that I was living, to live the life that he's called me for. And when I did that, with the twinkling of an eye, my life had changed. But I didn't even know that my life was changed until I went to work. I went through a whole weekend, because usually Friday nights was a night to go out and party. And Saturdays, you would come home and you would lay around and rest and wash your clothes and do all your things you had to do for house chores. And then when Sunday came around, you might go to church on Sunday or you may not go to church. But at that time, I was at home the whole weekend. I went to church on that Sunday. When I went back on that Monday, I was at work, and there was a young lady had talked to me about smoking cigarettes. And when you're working at over at MD Anderson in the medical center, back then they used to smoke on the job, inside the job. But when they banned smoking in the medical center, I couldn't stand it. So I wouldn't smoke all day at work. I would wait till I get off, and I would smoke like a crazy person in the evening after work. But so I was sharing with that lady. She said, I told her I used to smoke. And the lady said, no, you don't. And I said, yeah, I smoke cigarettes, but they couldn't believe it because I never smoked at work. But when I shared that information with her, the spirit spoke to me. He said, you don't know? And it was just like me and you talking on the phone right now. He said, you don't know what happened to you? And I was like, what happened? Like what? I answered him. And he said, you were delivered over the weekend. You no longer have none of those habits. And at that time, that's when I started shouting. I started praising God. I was jumping around in that washroom. I was so happy. I was so grateful that I never have to worry about that. And so when after I got off of work, I ran home and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I told my children, I said, the Lord delivered me from alcohol and drugs and cigarettes and all that stuff. And they thought, well, that's good, Mama. You know how people go up there and say, that's good. That's good. Until they actually saw the change. You know, we all went to church and got ready that following weekend, and it was my time. And when the Lord said, come, I heard him at that time. And that was my time to run down that aisle and go confess what I had done and tell him that I accepted Christ and I am born again, and he delivered me from that stuff. And when I told my testimony that day, the church was jumping, the people was praising, and you know it was for real because, I mean, I can imagine.
You're missing some demons in that house, huh?
I mean, you can imagine how many people have gone through the same thing I was going through, and just to actually hear somebody say, I'm no longer doing these things anymore, that God, that Christ delivered me. And so we praise God. I praise God. And I was on my way for my new life, my new journey. And, you know, being on your way with your new journey, once that life is turned over to you and you accept him and you're back in fellowship with the Lord, then you have to get into a Bible church that teach sound doctrine. And I got, you know, started in mission, senior mission, the older ladies. I love to be around older people because they're so wise and they're comical and they're humorous and they got things to tell you because they've been where you've been. You know, they got something to tell you to help you along the way. So I got in that mission, senior mission, and worked with those ladies, and I tell you, they really taught me a lot. And so I ended up staying in with them, and there was teaching going on in the mission, and I stayed in class. I went to Bible school, Bible study. Whatever it was that had some teaching, God had me right there. So he kind of put me in some other people's lives for me to be able to do some things and kind of pull me away from the places and the people that I used to go. And I mean, when I would see those people, I knew them, but they wouldn't, you know, it looked like I didn't know them. Are those the same people I used to run around with? I mean, they looked
almost like a veil over you, huh?
Yeah, they looked so different. You know, and then to hear my mom say, you used to look just like that.
So, again, you must have had a religious foundation prior to you having these terrible things happen in your life. And then you had your children and you had your mother. And I guess together with the love of your family, it helped you dedicate your life to God. And so, obviously, that it was a major, major shift in your life and made you make some great contributions. When did football start to play a role in your life?
Well, I've been, you know, right at the deliverance time, right before those years, some time ago when Vince was, he was around 7 or 8 years old. Vincent was in a car accident. He was riding his bike one day, and I was down the street with some friends doing the same old thing, you know, getting high and playing cards and stuff in the middle of the day. And my son was out riding a bicycle, and some lady came, and when he turned a corner, she hit my son and left. And people start calling me, and so, oh, my God, I must have ran down the street like I don't know how many seconds flat, you know, getting to my son. And I got there and saw my son lying on the ground. And at that point, I was so helpless. I thought, oh, my God, you know, my son. And I just broke down, and my mom was there, and people were standing on the corner looking. The ambulance came, and then a friend of mine came with me, got an ambulance, and my mom took the girls, and we went on and went to the medical center, to to Children's Hospital. And when we got there and stuff, and my son was so tiny and so small, and the doctor said he didn't see anything, but his stomach was swollen. And so, and it wouldn't have, and I said, Lord, I said, you know, please forgive me. Just give me another chance with my son, you know? And so I just said that. I didn't even know I was praying, but that was in my heart that I was speaking of, just sitting there helpless, you know, that my son was, you know, in the hospital and didn't know what was going to happen. And then they came in and rushed him out and took him to surgery, and come to find out his intestine had ruptured, and they had to hurry and get in there before, you know, that acid would fall into him and you know, cause him to die. And so they got it in time enough, and I tell you, that was a rude awakening.
Wait,
in my life.
Hey, listen, sounds like God was already starting to work in your life.
Yes.
Giving you warning signals. Okay, we're going to go to our last break. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moyer. I'm talking to my special guest, Felicia Young, and we're talking about Touchdown from Heaven. And we're in a huddle talking about her life before football and her life after football. We'll be back in three. This is Ida Moyer.
Actions speak louder than words, and you know, talking cheap. Talking only gets you nowhere. You know you gotta sow before you weep.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
In a landscape dominated by male talk show hosts, the Sports Maverick Show with host Ida Moyer, a.k.a. the Oprah of sports, has consistently offered a new dimension to sports since the year 2000. Ida's new five-part CD series entitled Survival Guide for Student Athletes from High School, College to the Pros is a must-have for every parent with an elite athlete. The Sports Maverick Show is where the best gets better on and off the field. Order your survival guide today. Log on to www.pro-readycoach.com. That's PROREADYCOACH.com. Pro-readycoach.com.
What does building a family mean to you? Nobody has experienced the pain and joy of family life in a way that Freddie Scott has. And his experiences in life, in sports, and business can help you create a successful family future. We'll cover many aspects of family building and management with a focus on fatherhood. Men and women want their families to succeed during these tough times. Our show will give you hope for the future and practical tools for a successful family. Tune in to the Freddie Scott Show, Tackling the Game of Life, Mondays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, on Voice America Sports.
Your internet flagship station for sports, Voice America Sports.
You are listening to the Sports Maverick Show with Ida Moyer. If you would like to join the conversation today, please call now. The number is 1-866-472-5787. That's 1-866-472-5787. Now, back to the Sports Mavericks.
Welcome back to the Sports Maverick Show. We're coming to the end of our program. I just want to let you know my special guest is Felicia Young, Felicia Young Ministry. And she has a wonderful book out for people to read. It's called Touchdown from Heaven. And it really is chronicling her life from a point of destruction to the point that the love of her children, her family, and even the love of maybe even football began to change her life around. And again, she got a calling that a blessing was going to be bestowed on her through her son, Vin Chung, that you all know. And you know the greatness that he has shown in both the NCAA and the NFL. And to know that that's some way that God will speak to you. But we're going to go back in. We're going to basically bring our guest back in here. And I've got another question on the email. And Felicia, I've got another question for you.
Okay.
I've got a question coming from Betty Gore. And Betty wants to know, what role did football play in making you hope for a better tomorrow? And again, what words would you give to a young mother out there that have young children that are playing the game and need to get their lives together?
Okay. Well, as I said, you know, what had happened to Vincent, who was after he was, hit by a car and God blessed him, I had to find something else for him to do besides riding bicycle everywhere. And that was one of the things that, when he got back home, that was asked, the coaches in the neighborhood were asked, can he play Little League football? And so I asked Benson what he would like to play Little League football. At first he said no, because he said he didn't want nobody pushing him. He didn't want to be on the ground. But then I told him, I said, well, okay, then if you don't want to play no Little League football, then you're going to have some chores. I said, we're going to find you something to do, because I can't keep you running all over everywhere and this is happening. You know, I'm trying to work and I'm trying to do this and do that. And so then the next day he came and told me, he said, well, okay, then Mom, I'll play. And so he started in Little League, and he was a pretty good little receiver. He did little receiver. He was safety. And then the time came when he was getting taller. When he got to be 14, coming on up in age, he was getting taller in sixth grade. And so they asked him to be a quarterback. And so he learned how to be a quarterback. And he went from Little League to junior high to high school playing quarterback. And, I mean, has been successful at it ever since. And all of that, you know, when it's time to go to college, it took prayer. I had to pray 24/7 because Vincent was getting to be a little big in time. He was already going, you know, to different things in the state, all the elite, football camps and things like that. They wanted to, Steve McNair would put him in those camps, and they would go everywhere training him. And, you know, he has been under a lot of people on the way up. And when it was time to get ready to go to college, I mean, he had about 150 colleges that wanted him to go, to come to their school. And we just did not know exactly which one. And he had said he was going to go to Southern Miss, and then University of Texas was one of them, Kansas and Arkansas was another. And, but okay, well, it's time to start seeking out colleges. And so we went to, University of Texas. And when we got to University of Texas, oh my goodness, before we even got to the city, the people were already, calling our name. People already knew we were coming. And, so my son had got really passionate. It took him to a basketball game, and the whole basketball game just stopped where they were. And all of those people just started screaming his name. So, you know, that did it. And then he started.
You knew you were home. You knew you were home. Absolutely.
We didn't get a chance to go to any other colleges. And so then we got into prayer. He came to me and told me he wanted to stay here. And he said, because this is closer to home, Mom, and y'all be able to come instead of we trying to get somewhere. And okay. And so we came together and we all went into prayer first. And we went into prayer. We had our pastor with us, that talked to us about different things to let us know what we need to be, looking for and stuff like that. We were counseled and stuff and got the word and the okay and got the anointing and all of these things. And
awesome,
all these things like
awesome,
that.
Awesome,
and, and the whole
awesome.
Family was together. And
well,
so,
you know, I'm just listening to your story, and it's almost like God snatched you out of the clutches of those things. You were never really there because you had a great foundation. You were just kind of like visiting someplace, okay? And it looks like the Lord just said, you know what, Felicia, you're too good of a girl to go down like this. And he wasn't letting the devil take you down, was he?
He's not going to let you.
He said, no way, Jose.
No.
You're going to Texas.
That's right. So if you got a calling on your life and you know what your foundation is and your assignment, when he calls you, everybody got a purpose on this earth, and you just need to get with God with the purpose. And ask them what
wow.
it is. And when you find it out, ask them to line you up with it. And you go for it. But don't do nothing without praying and talking to God about it. Because even though we prayed every time we did anything, got on the road, or when Vincent had to study, or when he had to take a test, whatever it is that the whole family had to go through with him where he is today, still today, we have to come together in prayer. We got to have family prayer. Because if we don't, then a lot of things, it comes to us. a lot of things come at us, and a lot of things come up, and a lot of things say, you know, and we're with young people today. Everybody got to reach a goal of learning what God will have them to do in their life, and it takes us to suffer a little bit. But if you just stay on in the course and never give up, stay prayerful 24/7, stay in
there
the people's faces. Don't let nobody take your son and go off and take them to somewhere by themselves and say they're going to take them to this school. No, you stay right there with them. You be right there. Don't never let nobody come in your mix. I don't care who it is, agent, financial person, all these folks, coaches, everybody who come in your life when you're trying to live this athletic life. You just
and it is a lifestyle, and it is a lifestyle.
It's a lifestyle because it's a lifestyle,
and it does end at some point in time. So you go back to your normal life, but you're never normal because you've lived this lifestyle.
You can't go back.
For sure, for sure. Well, I want to tell everybody where they can get this book. You can go to thefeliciayoungministry.com and go on there, and you can purchase this book. And
go to Barnes House.
If you want
to Barnes and Noble's,
and Barnes and Noble has it as well.
Arthur House.
Okay. Why don't you go ahead and give them the different places, Felicia?
Okay. You can go to Borders, and you can go to Amazon, iTunes. You can go to Arthur House is the one who printed up the book. You can go directly to them, or you can go to my website and purchase it as well, the Felicia Young Ministry, and I will get the book to you.
Awesome. And you know that, you know, if you want to listen to this broadcast, it's going to be on iTunes as well. So mothers, if you're listening out there and you want to really hear the word of wisdom directly from the touchdown from heaven, go ahead and do that. It will be available there to you to listen to as well. And it's just been awesome, Felicia, to have you back on here because, you know, I didn't think we did the justice of the book last week. I wanted to get it out there. And the devil is a liar, isn't he, boy? He's a liar. He sure can't hold us down, can he?
That's
you know,
right.
And in these last hours, you know, we always like to really talk about courage and how people are flourishing out there. I think to any of those rookies out there and those rookie moms out there, you know, this is a must for you to read. Don't get caught up in the whole thing of, you know, the fame and all that. Just remember that's your child. You root for him when he's down and you root for him when
that's
he's
right.
Up. That's what's important out there. Make sure you do that. That is so, so important in that regard. So I really think that's it. So, you know, again, we're coming to the end of our show. And, folks, again, thank you for a wonderful show. Thank you for those write-ins. And, again, you know, again, we're here next week.
Thank you.
Bye, the Moyer. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining Ida Moyer and the Sports Maverick Show. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. If you have a question or a story you'd like to share with Ida, you can email her at sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. sportsmavericks@yahoo.com. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next week.